Good morning. Good morning. How are we all doing? Good. Are we having fun?
Yeah.
I'm about to. Thank you for asking. Isn't it wonderful when we can gather together and we can worship our King to the strains of songs written in this house? Not one of those songs comes from anywhere else except by this house. Jessica wrote most of them and collaborated together with, I think, Andrea on one of them, and the musicians put it all together for us. Isn't that amazing? Did you all get that? Good. Sorry? It's okay. Yeah, I know. You're very hard to please. So this morning, I want to try and finish what I started last week. We started last week a series called
Freedom!
Janine, I know you can do better than that.
On your marks,
get set.
Freedom!
There we go. Now I could hear her holding back a little bit there. So we're going to carry on. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, and we're going to walk through the book of Galatians over the next couple of weeks. And of course, as I said to you last week, our key text is going to be starting in chapter 5, going verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And of course, as I said last week, the King James says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free," or made us free. And so we get hold of that and we understand that, and we're excited. I'm excited. So today is going to be sort of like part two of part one, and can get a little bit complicated along the way, but don't worry. So, Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way here this morning. Open our hearts to your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you would arrest our hearts and our minds this morning as we sit under your word, as you anoint me to preach your word, God, as we are anointed to hear the word, Lord God, that we would take it into our hearts and we would bear fruit from it, that we would live in the freedom that you have given us in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So quickly, we looked at how this all started. And I'm not going to re-preach the first part, but we need to know where we're going. And Paul takes off from Antioch in Syria, and he goes down to Salamis, to Paphos, up into Perga, into Galatia, or Galatia. And if we, as I said last week, if we use Trekkie people, we can go Galatia. And he goes on into Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. He plants the four little churches there. Then the blue line means he's coming back home again, and he's having a whole bunch of fun. But then we found out that there was a big fuss that was taking place, and we looked at what the fuss was all about. And the fuss was, the letter to the Galatian church was written from Paul's first trip, as we just stated. The fuss was that the Judaizers were not satisfied with the Gentiles being saved and coming to Christ by faith, by grace. And they wanted to add the laws and regulations and traditions to this amazing salvation that they had received. And namely, they were all on about the circumcision. And they were saying, no, you have to be circumcised. And then you can, now you're a good Jew, you can actually now follow and become a Christian as well. And you're okay and everything is great and good and following on. So, just for, you should read chapter 1, and I encourage you to do that last week. So, hope you've done that. And we looked at it and we said the problem with the Judaizers were they weren't satisfied. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to mix law and grace. And unfortunately, there are still Judaizers in the churches today. And they don't know it. I mean, I'm talking living, breathing, not 2,000 years ago. I'm talking 2014. And they want to add law to the message of grace. And they want to say, no, we add it on, we do it on, and last week we spoke about, hi, my name's Mark, I'm a RL. I'm a recovering legalist. So help me, Jesus. And we want to see that we don't add it. Because we think that if I perform better in my Christianity, then God's going to love me more. Amen. Yeah. Okay. And then we looked at legalism defined. And we said, well, what is legalism? And we defined it. We said, it's performing in my power. We said, performing according to my rules and performing to earn God's favor. But we understand that God's favor, God's pleasure, and God's blessing on me is not based on my performance for Him. But sometimes we still live like that. And again, just this week, again, I just thought, you know, sometimes you think, well, everyone's got this now. And then you hear someone say something and you go, like Paul said, I'm not afraid to repeat this stuff again. Because we've had years and years of teaching and preaching that says that if we do this and if we do that and if we do the other. And let me not run ahead of my notes. But then I did throw in a caution for us to understand it, because now we want to read the whole scriptures by grace, and we should. But then when we get to some of the books in the Bible and Paul or Jesus says, obey this command, then we go, oh, that's legalism now. No, it's not. That's the word from the Father telling us to shine up. Telling us that we need to obey this command. This is not like not optional. And we so understand that when Jesus says, I command you, or Paul says, I command you, that's not legalism. That's helpful for us. That's helpful for us to get on and live our life according to His will. And we're going to look at some of that this morning. And so we know that it's living in grace is not performing in my power. Living is grace is not performing according to my rules. And we are so good at making rules. You know, if we got the whole Old Testament and 634, how many there are, and we took them and wrote them all down, I can guarantee you by the end of the day we'd have 5 more. Because we're so good at making up rules. And well, if this one, and then we add this one on, and then that's this extra one, and then I can feel good. I told you repeatedly about that silly parent in South Africa. See, I can say that because I'm South African. You got the prayer of Jabez and made his children read the prayer of Jabez 5 times every morning. Why are you doing that? No, because then they're going to get it. I said, no, you're putting a yoke upon their necks and they're going to hate you for it. And it's going to do nothing in their lives. He wasn't impressed. And then we get, what does Paul say about all this? Paul says, I am astonished that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now, when we look at that word deserting, that word is a military term. And you know what happened in the military? If you desert in the military, what happens? You get a little thing called a court-martial. And in times of war, you know what happens thereafter? Yeah, you get shot for desertion. And here, this is a military term saying, you're turning to another gospel, but you're deserting Him who called you. You're not just making up rules and you're not just making yourself excited about a whole bunch of stuff. You're actually deserting the Father who called you in Christ Jesus. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Very strong, powerful words. Galatians 6:14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified, and I to the world. Okay, so that's last week. But there's a lot more in there, so if you want to hear it, you can go online. So number one, today we're going to talk about legalism destroyed. So we want to understand and how legalism is destroyed in our life. Number one, the gospel is free. You do not have to pay anything for it. And some of you are thinking dollars and cents, and I'm not thinking dollars and cents. I'm thinking of paying with my life. What do I have to do to accept this gospel? And all we have to understand is that the gospel is free. That it's free to us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. This amazing letter to the Galatian church, and we see the wonderful, amazing golden theme that flows through it. The thread that runs and holds us together, it permeates and marinates within our soul. The freedom of grace that has been given to us, the liberty. It is God's unmerited favor. God's favor, his pleasure and blessing, I said, is not based on my performance, but what it is, God's favor, God's pleasure, and God's blessing on me is according to Jesus' performance. What he did upon the cross for us. What Jesus did for us. We don't owe him anything. Well, surely I owe him something. No, because then we're living in a contract form and I have to owe him something. And he's saying it's free. If I give you stuff, it's free. You don't owe me anything. I gave it to you out of my free will. It's a gift. And we can't comprehend this thing because the world we live in says once you've given me something, then you're going to expect something from me. And Jesus is above that. Way above that. And he's saying, I'm giving you my life, I'm giving you my blood, it's yours, take hold of it and live in the liberty and the freedom of that. And we're not indebted to him. Now I know that's going to mess with some of your heads. Well, surely I owe Jesus a debt. No, you don't. That's what the enemy wants you to believe, because when you think you owe him a debt, then you believe that there's something you have to do to make sure that he continues to love you and you remain indebted to him. Don't worry, don't get all carried away now and just say, well, I can do anything now. No. What am I saying? I'm saying God's grace is free, God's salvation is free, and God's mercy is free. I think Janine went down that road this morning. Which brings what? Brings freedom. And I know we think freedom and we see people rioting and shouting and screaming freedom. I'm not talking about that. I think King James puts it better and it says liberty. It's better when we are libertarians. There you go, Andrew. When we are libertarians, when we live in the liberty of that freedom. Because I want to show you something else just now as well, and you're going to go, wow. Well, I hope you're going to anyway. God's grace, unmerited favor, God's unconditional will towards mankind, which is decisively expressed in the saving work of Jesus. Yeah, read it again. God's unmerited favor, God's unconditional will towards mankind, which is decisively expressed in the saving work of Jesus. And that's why we cannot add anything to it. And he says, peace upon you, grace and peace upon you. It's the state of life enjoyed by those who effectively experience this divine grace. When we live in peace, hallelujah, I've got problems, hallelujah, Jesus reigns. Hallelujah, I've got issues in my marriage, God is still on the throne. I told you an old friend of mine, Peter Howard Brown, preached the gospel in one sentence. He says, God is still on the throne, come and die. Are there any questions? You mean I've got to die to myself and my will and my flesh and my ideas and my thoughts and my? Would be, what's it, Nemo? The seagulls. Mine. And it's all his. And we give him all the glory. Number two, legalism destroyed. God the Father is the initiator of salvation. Father and Son in partnership together. Go and read, once you've read through the book of Galatians, Lorraine, go and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The reason I mention it is because she's so excited. She came and said, I read through the book like you told me to, and I'm just reading this thing of Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1 and all the blessings. Yeah. In Ephesians 1 is the gospel, 1 to 14. The Father planned it, the Son paid for it, and the Holy Spirit sealed it. And we should go, yeah, liberty, freedom. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Remember, God the Father is the initiator, according to the will of our God and Father. Salvation came to us according by his will for us. God wasn't confused when the earth was messing up. God wasn't confused. He already had the plan. He just had to roll out the plan over time so that we could be free. So that we could live in the liberty that I'm trying to download to us. That I trust that as you read it, you will get your own revelation of it. I'm just a helps person. I'm here to equip you to help see some of the stuff. That you go and read the word yourself and you go, aha, and next week you'll come back and say, you know, Mark, I was reading in Galatians chapter 1 and you never said anything about this. And the Lord says this and this and this. And I'm saying, praise God. Because the truth of it is we cannot, I think in my little thing on the bulletin that's coming out next week, we can only take a bite, some chewy pieces out of the book of Galatians. We can't ever go through it. And I'm trusting you'll go and read it, and each time you'll go, you'll hear this, a little light will pop above your head, and you'll go, freedom! Wow! It is one of the most amazing books in the Bible, if I say so myself. His will has made our salvation totally dependent upon his grace. And that's why it's unmerited favor. God, I don't understand it. Well, I think Michael said this morning, when we sang those words of the song, there is none like you, God, in earth or in heaven. And we go, how do I wrap my head around that? And we can't. Well, I can't. I'm not bright. There are a lot of much smarter people in this room than me. But I go, wow, it's by your grace. By your love for me. By your unconditional, unmerited favor upon my life. God, do you know who I am and where I came from? Yeah. You'll see at the end of the sermon. His will, Galatians 1:13. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism. So Paul is establishing his authority in Christ Jesus, not of man, not for man, not from man. His authority. How I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Paul was the CEO of ISIS. Let that sink in for a while. He was a terrorist in modern days parlance. He was going around persecuting and killing the church, dragging them off to jail and having them executed. What? And I know when we talk about what's going on in Syria and Iraq at the moment, I don't know about you, but my blood boils and I'm like, I'll go back to military days and I want to put on my helmet and my... Anyway, let's not go there. Paul was doing that, but Jesus had a plan for his life. He says, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age. Man, I was top drawer. I was cream of the crop. I was the guy. There was nobody like me. In this room, there none of you are like Paul. Paul would be saying, I was advancing. Look how well I was doing. How was I advancing in Judaism? Man, I was persecuting and killing people. What? Is that the way to advance? Many among my own age, my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Rules, regulations, traditions. Let's add that all to the cross. But, I love the word but. It nullifies, if you don't know why but's there, it nullifies everything that I just said. When he who had set me apart before I was born and called me by his grace, understanding God the Father initiated this whole thing. We have this misconceptions, and so someone even wrote a song, and maybe there are more, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. Jesus was looking for you. We didn't attain this on our own. There was none of this attained on our merits because we earned it or because we were deserving good citizens. I was like, I'm really a good guy, you know. I know Joe Bloggs is not such a good guy. Maybe he needs salvation, but I deserve it. So I'm such a good guy. We receive the salvation where grace came running, the mercy came running to us and called us. This is good news. This is a free gospel. A Father who initiated a relationship with you and me when we have no interest whatsoever and we don't care so much and we don't really worry about that kind of stuff. Paul says, not a made up. This grace, this gospel I'm teaching you, I'm preaching to you, I didn't make it up. It's not, I didn't hear it, I didn't learn it from man or of man or from man, but I got it from a revelation of Jesus Christ. As I said, he's establishing his authority. We have to understand, you know, if you reading, you'll see that he goes away and he disappears into the wilderness for 17 years. First time for 3 years, and he comes back and he goes and he says, hey guys, how am I doing? This is my gospel of grace. How are we doing? And he says, good. And then he disappears again for another 14 years. And then he comes back and he says, I just wanted to check with the apostles now if I'm doing the right thing. Because I've had this revelation, but I haven't gone and stood on a hill and waved my own flag and beat my own drum and look how wonderful I made. No, he's gone away. And for 17 years, and 2 weeks, because he spends 15 days with Peter. Lord Jesus, what is this? Help me. Help me to understand this. And we want to go 14 minutes, and yes, I'm ready to do this. And he's going, and he says, no, I didn't make this up. This is revelation. And that's why when Paul writes this, they can canonize the scriptures that he wrote. As I said to the men at the men's breakfast yesterday morning, I was talking about leadership and fellowship. Wherever I said to you, I think I asked this last week, who wants to be Paul and who wants to be Barnabas? Paul, well, he's the dude. Well, Barnabas was the dude. Because if it wasn't Barnabas, there wouldn't have been a Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 27. But Paul, Barnabas took Paul and introduced him to the apostles. If it hadn't been for Barnabas, we wouldn't have had half the Bible in the New Testament. And when we have young John Mark and they go out on their first trip, and John Mark is whiny boy, and he doesn't want to carry on with this whole thing, Paul says, listen dude, you duck. I'm going to put up with your foolishness. Barnabas says, don't worry, come with me. And later on we know, Paul says, send for John Mark to me because he is profitable. King James Version says, according to Chris. And we find here that if it wasn't for Barnabas, we wouldn't have the book of Mark. Great encourager. Anyway, that's sidebar. Let's go where we're supposed to be going. Number three, legalism destroyed. Said this, the gospel was not invented by man. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. We can't just read over things and just, well, let's look for the nuggets in this stuff. Galatians 13 again, it says, who had set me apart? For you have heard of my former life. And he goes on and he tells the whole story. But God is the initiator of the salvation. Sorry, I went there. There we go. That's what I want. Are we good? Galatians 1:11. Yeah, well, here we go. For why I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's going, wow. The point he's making, there's another scripture. He says, who gave himself according to our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father. The point he is making here, and having told us how wonderful he was and all good he was, it doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is where you're going in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter about your past, how willful you are or were, or how rebellious you are or were, how deliberate you are in running away. All we must do is trust in Him. And we will have eternal life. reconciled to the Father. Let's go to number 4. I better keep checking here. Oh, there we go. We're good. The gospel was revealed by God, who gave himself for our sins from the presently according to the will of God our Father. It's not what man can do for God. It's not what we can do for God. What God has done for us. The Judaizers were saying, we agree with this in a sense, but except that we want you to add this stuff onto it. And the Lord is saying, no, we don't want to do that. They were undermining the gospel. They were undermining the power of the cross. It's the same as when we say that we need to do all of this, and then but we can add all this. It's the same as if I gave you a pure glass of water. That's what happens when we add law to grace. A pure glass of water, and I said, here, drink. It's nice and cool. And you take it, and you're excited because you're thirsty. But then I just take a little drop of arsenic, and I put it into the glass. You still want to drink it? No, you don't want to drink it now. Why? Because now it's become impure. Because there's trouble in there. And so we say, no, but if we just take the grace and the law, and Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And the Judaizers said, yeah, not so quickly. It's finished, but let's just add something else to it. That's the difference between grace and adding law. The problem is when we contaminate the gospel just a little, you poison the whole piece of it. You know that whole story about if you're going and you're walking, I don't know, 100 meters, and you're just 1 degree off when you start here, you know by the time you get 100 meters, you're not 1 degree anymore. You're a little bit, ooh, because we have a natural bend, excuse the pun, to go off to the right or to the left, depending whether you're left or foot, right footed, or however that works. The gospel is saying, this grace message is not contaminated. It says you're totally accepted by God, based solely on Jesus' performance for you. Every one of us is accepted by Him. We misunderstand the gospel when we cheapen grace. What does that mean? Simply because so many have heard and subscribed to a gospel of law and grace. When we preach undiluted grace, it's risky. It becomes risky because now it can sound like, and I've seen so many friends go off track because of it. Well, it means now I'm free, I'm freedom. I can do and behave and say how I want to and what I want to, and that's not what we're saying at all. Say, well, I'm for freedom now, so falsely I'm free to be my person. No, we bought at a price. We've been purchased on the slave box of humanity. We've redeemed from the curse. We are justified by His grace. We have an imputed righteousness to us. Doesn't mean I can just go off and do what I want. Galatians 2:14 says, But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Oh, no, that's legalism. No, it's not. It's helping us to understand the liberty and the freedom we have. Paul is writing this, saying, I saw their conduct. Because these poor, silly Galatians churches, The Paul had just been in, he'd done that, they were all happy, they were free, they got this grace thing, and then these clowns came in behind them and said, no, not so fast. Who of the men here have been circumcised? They were like, what? Well, they're all Gentiles, so none of them were. And they were now confused, and they were worried, and what do I do? How do I understand this? Just remember this, when we malign the gospel, we try to add to grace, we misunderstand the gospel. And when we misunderstand the gospel, we cheapen grace. Let me just say that again. We need to remember we malign the gospel when we try to add to grace. And we misunderstand the gospel when we cheapen grace. Grace is free, it brings freedom, it brings liberty, but it's not cheap. It costs Jesus His life. And I know you've heard all this stuff quoted, sort of like, well, we're not in law and I'm in grace and this and that, and I'm head down, not the tail, and I'm that and that. We have to take this stuff and weigh the words, weigh what God has done for us, weigh what God is saying to us. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. When it comes to, when you come to understand the gospel of grace, when we live in this grace and this freedom, your life will change. If you're saying, well, I gave my heart to Jesus and you've never changed anything in your life, can I be as bold to say as you probably need to rethink that? When it, you or your lifestyle, your behavior, your speech cannot be the same when it is penetrated by the gospel. We have been saved by grace alone through faith. God has grace given us His grace which is free. God is the initiator of our salvation. And Jesus accomplished the finished work on the cross. And the Holy Spirit sealed it for us. Last 2 points. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm punching it the wrong way. There we go. There we go. The gospel is not only free, it's freeing. By His grace, we are free from sin. Going back to Galatians 1 verse 14. Who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. Now, when you go and look, and as I said to you, when you go and look at this word deliver, the word deliver in the Greek is exariel. I hope I said that right. But what that means, that's not just delivering you from a mob or from drowning in the sea. This word deliver means I am being freed, I'm being set free, I'm being made free from the power of something. That's what that word means. I'm being set free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has a hold on me. Well, why do I still sin then? Because you do it in the flesh. Because you don't learn to say two little words, letters. No. But I still want to sin. Yeah, because your flesh is wanting to rise up. But the power of sin has no hold over you anymore. But I saw the $10 there and I thought, if I take it, no one will know. Well, that's not true to start off with. You know and God knows. There are no secrets. Because you know and God knows. I'm being set free. I'm being made free. I have the freedom. I have the liberty. I am free. I am freely. I am freeing. Do you get it? From the power of sin. He has delivered us from this present evil age. We live in this world. We are living in a fallen world. But you know what? We are not of this world. And we say these cute sayings, but they're not just cute sayings. It's powerful scripture if we take hold of it and imbibe it. We are rescued from the power of the world and the evil ways. Paul is saying the gospel of grace is a gospel of rescue, where you are free and you don't live like the world lives anymore. You don't think like the world thinks anymore. You don't speak. I mean, it has shocked me more and more times when people have heard the gospel of grace and then gone along and said, man, I can say anything, and they drop the bombs and you're going, what is wrong with you? He says, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, I can talk like an idiot now. He said, no, you need to go and read Thessalonians, who actually says you should not have vile language coming out of your mouth. I don't get it. I'm like, I'm now under grace. I had a lobotomy at the same time, because I can just do what I want now. That's not the message of the gospel of grace. We were under a law. We had a master. The Bible tells us the law was a schoolmaster to train us. I don't need that schoolmaster anymore, because I have the grace of Jesus Christ. Because I'm living in that liberty and that freedom. Why? Because we've been freed from all things to live in freedom. Freedom by grace, we'll see later in Galatians 5 and 6, how God puts His Spirit in us and we walk in the freedom of His Spirit. And we don't go back to the things of the flesh. We wake up in the morning, I need grace. Let me, well, you got grace. No, I need it every day. I wake up in the morning, I need grace to breathe. I need grace for my thoughts. I need grace for my lifestyle. I need grace to read the Word of God. I need grace to worship Him. I need grace to walk in my life, to meet my neighbor, to meet the lady or the man in the shop. I need grace for all of that. It's not like, well, now you've got it, off you go, ride the big waves. If you don't know what you're doing when you try and ride a big wave, yeah. If you are struggling with sin and persisting in any particular area by grace, you have been rescued from the power of that sin. It doesn't have the power, the dominion over you. I'm so weak. Yes, you are. But in Christ Jesus, you are so strong. James 4:7, therefore submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and resist the devil, and he will stick around for longer times than he should. No, he will flee. But we want to do this, remember, my power, my rules, my earning favor. Gospel is freeing. Let's do the last one. By grace, you are free to share the gospel. Oh, I knew you were going to get there somewhere along the line, Mark. Because we think it's just the evangelists that do it. Well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm shy. I'm this. I'm that. I want to show you a biblical truth, a biblical principle this morning. Galatians 1:15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, and then it goes on and on and on. The salvation is freedom, it's freeing, and we get to freely share what we have freely been given. Because it wasn't just for Paul. Because you all, we all, were set apart before we were born. We have all been called by Him. Remember, I didn't find Him. He found me. He called me. His Holy Spirit wooed me and showed me how desolate and empty my life was. He was pleased to reveal His Son to me. The Son has been revealed to all of us in order that I might preach Him amongst the Gentiles, the nations, my neighbors, my workplace, my school place, my university, my college, my neighborhood, my community. Why did He do this? Why did He give us His grace? So we could be proclaimers of the gospel. For what reason, in order, I should share this freedom message? You want it for yourself only? I think if we got this, and I'm pleading myself, if we got this into our spirit and understood this with the depth and the power of the crucifixion and the resurrection, we would run around like chickens with our heads chopped off, telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. Because they don't know. Just remember this thing. They don't know what you know. They don't know what you know. Because either then they are rebellious and living a willful life, which is partly true. But if they've never heard, remember Kevin preached that word and they did that little exercise in the USA and they went around and asked people, modern day 2014, have you heard of Jesus? How many people said, no, who is he? You know, if you go down to Mexico, you're going to get, yeah, no, of course we know Jesus. In order that I might preach the riches of his unfathomable freeing grace, You have the ability, you've been rescued from this evil age, you have the power, you have been rescued, you've been delivered from the evil age, you have the power within you to say no to sin, you've been rescued with the authority that Paul says, speaks about, exercising his authority. He shows, first of all, he wants people to recognize his authority, and then he exercises the authority. You have the same spirit in you that Paul had in him. Why was Paul such a nutter for the gospel? I think because those who've forgiven much, love much. And sometimes I think we forget what we've been forgiven. Because we've been Christians 30, 40, 50 years. You've forgotten what it was like to actually be a sinner. We have to remember, go back, pull out our drawer, and look at what God has done in our lives. When you're feeling weak and your faith is failing, go back and look at the goodness of God, what He's done in your life. When He healed you, when He touched you, when He spoke to you, when He caused a miracle, when He resurrected a dying relationship or a marriage, we have to remember this stuff. Because alternatively we go, because we've seen. Why shouldn't I pray for the sick people when I've prayed for people and tumors have gone, cripples have walked, blind have seen? Well, yeah, that was a long time ago. Now I go back and I remember. Oh man, we were there in Mozambique and this took place, and we love to tell the story. Why? Because it's helping me to remember that Jesus does do that stuff. He is the healer. I remember we didn't know what we were doing, and we had no money, and we'd run out of money, and I came home from work and I was depressed. And the church was that. You need to tithe. You need to do this. You need to do that. I was like, oh, I work too hard for our money. I don't have enough money to tithe. Someone said, you can't afford not to. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. And I said to Bruce, I don't know how we're going to do this, but this is what we're going to do. And I know how to do budgets. And we did a budget and it didn't work. Because we were $300 short every month. Now when we decided we're going to tithe first, and then we're going to do everything else, and at the last straw, you know what we were going to do? We were then going to buy food for ourselves. And if we didn't have the food, we would trust Jesus and we would live. And I know a family who did that. They fasted for a week and they ate for a week because they wanted to honor God. And so what happened is we did that. And then we had $25 left over. Well, rand. I'm just using dollars because... Rand, this is in South Africa. We had 25 rand left over. And on the way to church, the Lord said, give half away. I was like, who's going to do what with 12 rand 50? So anyway, made sure we had 12 rand 50 in envelope, got to church, said, Lord, who should we give it to? So give it to that person. So we gave it to that person. It's not in my notes. It's by the Spirit. I'm trying to help you. It ended up within 6 months... without salary increases, we paid all our bills, bought all our food, and we were giving away between $500 and $1,000 a month. And to this day, we have never lacked. We've had times we've had no food in the cupboard, and we were like, and in all the fridge for that matter, and we didn't have anything to go and buy it with in Canada. And we hear a knock on the door, and a lady from this church came to us and said, it was Francine. She said, I've never ever done this before. I'm probably never going to do it again. But when I was out shopping today, the Lord told me to buy a pack of chicken breasts for you people. Do you need some food? And we said, yeah, we do. Thank you very much. That same weekend, Louise came home and she said, you know, on my way home, the Lord told me to go and buy you guys a month's worth of groceries. Because we don't tell people about this stuff. We trust God. And Louise arrived and she had a month's worth of groceries for us. Have you ever heard of, what's his name? Mueller, George Mueller. Started the orphanages, sat down, no food. Let's give thanks for the food that we have. What? Lord Jesus, bless this food that we have. Thank you for its bountiful supply. In Jesus' name, amen. Knock, knock. Baker at the door. Do you need some bread rolls? Do you need some food? The point of it is we have freedom in grace, and we trust in Him. Hallelujah. I have a problem. I have a financial problem. Jesus is still on the throne. God's still on the throne. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him for everything. And now I'm getting nervous because every time I open my mouth, we get tested as a family. And so, but that's good because I trust in Jesus. Let's just stand together this morning. Jess, worship team, let's just do that last song again. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord. And we want to honor you, God. And we bless you abundantly, Father. And God, we thank you for freedom by grace. We thank you, Lord, that we have been made free, that you have called us, that you have set us apart, that you have revealed your Son to us, that in freedom we may share what has so been freely given to us. We thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you, Father, it's not by my performance, it's not by my rules, and I don't have to earn your favor because you so freely give me your favor, God. Thank you for your favor upon our lives, Lord. Thank you that you are our blessed Savior, that we can cry, Abba, Father. Holy Spirit, that you dwell in us, that you change our lives, that you refresh us, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.